What are you watching?
Sky Sports.
Huh? Oh no, it's bad signal.
Just looking at the adverts while you're doing it.
What, Sky News?
Sky Sports News, I've got it on.
What girl's presenting tonight?
I don't know yet. Have to wait and see.
Might turn it off, depending on who it is. Which one's the girl? Is she Argentinian or something?
I don't know.
So the one who was on with Jim White on the transfer night.
I know she's not Argentinian. I don't think.
Isn't she?
She's Welsh.
No, not her. The other one. The one with olive skin or whatever.
I don't know. It's good to look at, anyhow.
You said that. I thought she was a very, very good presenter. Speaks nice and clearly. Yeah, welcome to a brand new Hot Spurs podcast. It is Monday, the 15th of September, 2014. I'm Steve. We got Colin here. How you doing, Cole?
Yeah, doing well, mate. Doing well.
Good, good, good. Right, straight into it then. We've got our Tottenham back. Talk us through the Sunderland game.
Yeah, definitely got our Tottenham back, anyhow. Just disappointing, Steve, obviously, because, you know, to be winning away from home, be 2-1 up, you know, with a few minutes to go, and... You know, and what a poor own goal. You know, I'd have preferred it to have been sliced off his foot or come off someone's head, you know, but, you know, feel sorry for Harry Kane. He was obviously just standing there at the back post. There was nothing the guy could do about it, but, you know, typical Spurs, or as everybody likes to say now, the Spursy way.
Yeah.
Just seems to always happen. But, you know, to go into the game, I was very pleased with, you know, with the highlights that I seen. Obviously weren't at the game, didn't see the game live, but, you know, there seemed to be a lot of good points to be taken out. You know, we seemed to attack Sunderland well. You know, a lot of boys seemed to, you know, be on the ball, you know, good, quick passing. And, you know, Luke Strong started off brilliant, you know, an early goal, couldn't believe it. Actually sitting and working, following everything on Twitter, and the phone, I've got a bleep that goes whenever there's a goal with Spurs, and
yeah,
bleep straight away, and scared to look at the phone and look down, and there it was, Chadley 1-0. I went, yes, come on, here we go. And then I think I bleeped about 45 seconds later, and I thought, oh, this couldn't be two. And obviously it was the equaliser, which was a poor goal, really, you know, to let, you know, Johnston, you know, jiggle his way through the defence there. But, you know, overall, Steve, I think, you know, a good performance. You know, disappointed not to get the 3 points. But, you know, you listen to Gus Poyet at the end of the game, said it's one of the best teams that they've played, or probably the best team that they've played so far in their first four games. So, you know, you've got to take heart from that. And, you know, the other one big thing I really wanted to get out there tonight was, you know, Twitter and all went a bit mad, and people cracking up about us not beating Sunderland away from home. You know, we've said it before, we've got to give this guy time. You know, nobody's going to, you know, why are we jumping on this manager's back already? You know, give the guy time. It's going to take at least 8 to 10 games, possibly, for him to settle in. You know, there's a couple of new signings there just come in. There's a transfer or a break. You know, so it's going to take time for these guys all to fit into his way of playing. So, you know, we can't be jumping the gun, guys. Definitely not.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Liverpool have lost at home to Aston Villa. Man City have lost at home to Stoke. So in the grand scheme of things, these results do happen, and that's football. We played a lot better, didn't we, than when we played them last time and won 5-1.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
That was actually not a very good game, was it? And we won 5-1.
That's
and,
right.
And, you know, we didn't knock it about at all. So, you know, it's strange, this game that we love and adore, because obviously being a Spurs fan, you tell people, don't you, that you'd much rather see a fantastically entertaining 2-2 than some rubbish old 1-0 win. Yet we had a lot of rubbish wins last year, and it wasn't good enough. So we want the entertainment. We got the entertainment, but we're still disappointed. That's perfectly natural, I suppose, especially to be 2-1 up. And we did really, really play well. That's the positive thing. You know, looking at it last year, you thought, well, where's this team going? I was trying to get a bit of a rally cry to say, you know, get off the manager's back and, you know, let's support him and see where we can go, because at the moment everyone's, you know, the players aren't happy, the manager's coming out with this, that and the other, trying to appease fans, trying to please players, trying to appease everybody and getting it all wrong completely. He just needed to be quiet and get on with his job. And this time, obviously, we've got somebody who looks as if he's, equally as, committed and desperate for Tottenham to do well. But at the same time, he's saying all the right things. Doing it with, you know, more class possibly. I don't know. It seems all right. Things are looking a lot more positive, aren't they? You look at it and go, well, you know, look, can't wait for the next game. Whereas last season it was like, oh, dreading it, just wanted it to be over. Yeah. That's good. If we run through it then, obviously, we scored early on. We had a couple of really good chances in the first 4 minutes. And this was about our fourth or fifth really good chance, actually. Great shot from Adebayor, who I thought ran himself into the ground. Yet again, and probably should have come off about 10 minutes earlier, because he looked absolutely spent. Again, getting it in there, getting mixing it about, and that was only watching it on telly. I normally say you have to see him in the flesh to actually see how much of a presence he is up there. Not brilliant, not a great game, but a good solid centre forward performance. You know, if you're up there on your own, desperate obviously for him to score. But didn't happen. And then Chadley with the follow-up. And great start. A good goal from their point of view, bad from ours. But don't forget that we're playing at the moment more or less our second string back four. Like I'd like to say, you know, if the FA Cup was tomorrow, then you're looking at Walker, Davis, Fazio, even though we haven't seen him, and Vertonghen. That's what the majority of Spurs fans seem to be saying. Although, you know, we obviously know what Cabal is capable of. I don't think Danny Rose, although he's playing a lot better than last year, we are comparing him to last year, and he's still, very much a right left back who I think's got a few mistakes in him. Davis, we bought him, we should be playing him. And Dyer, who's, you know, learning his trade, obviously learning about the Premiership, been really, really good, really impressed with him. But again, we know what Walker can do on his day. We also know what Walker can do on his day in the negative. If you took a poll of all, yeah, the back four that Spurs fans, majority of Spurs fans, that's probably a second choice back four. So, you know, you look at it like that. Again, lots of players in midfield who you look at it and go, well, would Chadley get in anybody's starting 11? Everybody fit? Not sure. But a lot of other players, I'm really pleased that Dembele came in. Some people obviously saying, where's Bentaleb and what have you? Well, you know, Dembele is a much better player than Bentaleb in my opinion. And he showed it, because he was absolutely fantastic. He just strolls round the opposition player, the first player, as soon as he gets the ball, like he isn't there. And it's a joy to watch. I love it every time he does it. Thoughts on Dembele, Cole?
Yeah, I thought he had a great game, you know, and what a shot, you know, we haven't mentioned that, you know, that hit the post, and I think that's what a lot of us have been crying out about. You know, we know this guy can strike a ball, and, you know, that's what we want to see him do more of. I think they actually moved him, you know, in the second half, they actually moved him forward, you know, in that number 10 role in behind the striker, which I think you've mentioned quite a few times, you know, on the pods where you would like to see him play. But it was good to see him in there. I thought it was a good choice. You know, he looked strong. I know Match of the Day showed some good highlights of him, you know, about his tackling back. And, you know, as you say, he just glides past that first player, you know, and you know, giving the ball nice and simple. He seemed to be doing things just that wee bit quicker. So he did, you know, which is great. But, you know, look, there's a lot of, as you're mentioning about the team, there's a lot of changes to come. Obviously, we'll chat about it soon, probably about Kabul has obviously been made captain of the club tonight. You know, we'll get our reactions here soon. But, you know, you're talking there, a lot of us are thinking about Fazio, even though we haven't seen him, and Jan Vertonghen to come in. You know, this guy's captain, Steve. You know, I think he's got to play. And I think that's where, just by quickly looking on Twitter and a lot of Facebook pages over the past hour, you know, the guy's getting totally abused, you know, for being given the captaincy. But again, as we've always said, I'm giving this guy, this manager, time. You know, that's who he's picked. I'm going to go with him. But it does slightly worry me because he's so injury prone, you know, that he's got the captain's armband on. And to me, if he's captain, he has to play. You know, so that's going to be an interesting decision to see what way we sort of go with the team each week. But look, there's a lot of good players there. You know, say we tried to pick our team last week, I don't think we got even half of it right. You know, from the podcast, we all sort of thought, you know, maybe Ben Davis might get a bit of a chance now. But, you know, one guy wanted to mention as well was Dar. I actually thought he didn't have the best of game this week. And I do worry slightly about him. He's only new. Yes, he's had a fantastic start for us. But obviously, he walked around, you know, for their first goal. And when I sort of watched it back a few times, he looked slightly lost. But we know that isn't his full-time, you know, position and things. So, look, you know, we've got to wait and see what sort of happens from that there. But, you know, loads of positives to take out of it, as you say, with Dembele especially. So I just don't know what the team's going to be next week. I think that's a big problem.
Yeah, I mean, with Dier, he's got to keep his hands down, because there was a couple of times there where the players running past him, and you know, he's just got to keep his hands down. And another guy we haven't mentioned there is Vlad Kirikesh, who, you know, looks all right. Decent. I like him. I like Kirikesh. You know, he does love coming forward. But what are your thoughts on Kirikesh, Carl?
Yeah, I agree. I really liked him last season. I thought out of all the players we signed, he was one of the better ones for us. You know, again, it was one of those surprising choices because we haven't really seen him this season. You know, there he was straight in. But look, he's a good player. You know, I think he's a guy, you know, you're looking, there's Kabul, there's him, there's Fazio, there's Vertonghen. You know, we've got four really, really good centre halves. And it's just going to come down, I think, over the next few weeks, you know, with the Europa League and, you know, Premier League games, we're going to see these guys rotated and mixed about. And I just think that's the way it's probably going to be. I think we'll see Fazio probably coming in this Thursday, you know, get a bit of a look at him. But I do think, look, we haven't signed the guy for the sake of it. I can't see him coming into the team for talking as well. So just what I was saying about Kabul earlier, this is, I think, the big strange thing for everybody. We're just wondering what way this is going to work. But, you know, they're all good centre-halves, and obviously Dar as well as a centre-half. So, you know, there's a lot of options, and it's going to be an interesting year.
Yeah, I mean, with the captaincy thing, you know, he's gone with the guy that is vocal and passionate, and you know, he's probably a really good presence around the place. You know, and the thing about Hugo Lloris and Vertonghen is that they've got massive drawbacks in the fact that Hugo Lloris is a goalkeeper. He has only been at the club for a couple of years, so it's not like, you know, he's a veteran of Tottenham and he's the obvious choice. And a lot of people don't really want a goalkeeper as the captain, which I understand. And Vertonghen, obviously, with his attitude and you know, he's in and out of the side. Do we know why he didn't play on Saturday?
I don't know. I think it just said they maybe come back from the international game with a bit of a niggle.
Okay,
I think maybe, that's what it was.
But he's not, you know, even when he does play really well, he's not a vocal guy on the pitch, is he?
Yeah.
You know, although he's classy and we think he's fantastic as a player. So he's gone with a guy who's You know, been at the club for a while now, which is weird to say because he's been injured so much. But you know, okay, let's see how we get on. It was a really hard decision for him to make. I bet he had a few sleepless nights thinking about it. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, I really like, really love the fact that Adebayor is vice captain with Lloris, just because of these sorts of things entertain me. It's an entertainment business, and you know, these sort of things, you know, that's why we're on Twitter, that's why we do a podcast, because you don't want run of the mill, you want a little bit of you know, discussion points. Adebayor as vice captain, brilliant.
Yeah, I actually think it's a very, very clever move, because you know yourself, and we all know Adebayor thrives, you know, with sort of being in that limelight. And I think if there's going to be games, you know, maybe that's another thought on his head. You know, if Kabul is possibly not going to play certain games, the captain armband's probably going to be on Adebayor. And I personally think, you know, put that armband on the guy and you're going to get that even extra 5-10% out of him. I think that's the kind of guy he will love running out there with the armband on, you know, playing it up to the crowd. So I think it's a clever move by Pochettino, you know, and I think we could see Adebayor, you know, thriving on that end of it.
Always looking for the positives, Carl, aren't you? Always looking for
the positives. Yeah, I'm always trying.
But he is, he's vocal. You've seen him in these games, like the Arsenal games, where he gets all vocal and gets everybody up for it, and then goes in two-footed on somebody. But
maybe he'll be captain in a couple of weeks' time and ever later.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
But no, I was happy with that. That's quite good. Listen, so as we move through the team, obviously you've got Kapu, who, you know, had another decent game there. And then up into, you know, the attacking part of the field, you've got Lamela and Eriksen. What are your thoughts on those two for the Sunderland game, Carl?
Yeah, well, you know, for Sorbo Lamela, obviously he had a fantastic effort that hit the crossbar. Very, very unlucky. I think, you know, I spoke to Dave Elder, the Spurs Pope, was over at the game, and he sort of said to me, you know, Lamela, he looked good on the ball, but you know, he was sort of in and out of the game quite a bit, but you can see where he's going to get stronger and stronger. And again, he's another one that we just need to give time to. I think we're all sort of nearly expecting every game now that, you know, he's going to score a wonder goal or do something fantastic for us. He's not going to be able to do it every week. But, you know, Davies had a decent enough game for us. Same with Eriksen, sort of just a wee bit in and out of the game. Obviously, great that he got a goal. Great reaction from him whenever he scored. It's been his best game so far this season for us, because obviously there's been a lot of talk that Eriksen hasn't really done much yet this season. But he'd be a wee bit like that last year as well. So maybe the goal there will just sort of lift him into the team. And look, it's a new system as well for them all. So, look, overall, you know, good performance from the both of them. Definitely a lot more to come from the two players, I think, in the future.
And Chadley, I mean, he scored his goal, but how do you think he played overall?
Yeah, look, I think Chadley's been great. He looks like a completely different player. You know, last year, when did you ever see Chadley get in the box last year? He did. You know, he would have hugged the touchline, and you know, he'd have maybe got down and got the odd cross in, or maybe a cross, you know, from about 30-40 yards back. Here, you know, he's in the round the box, he's in attacking the ball. You know, he's already scored 3 goals this season, which is great. And if you actually watch his reaction, as soon as Adebayor's hitting that shot, you know, there was a good angle where you can see him and he's on his toes. And as soon as it hit, he's straight in there, he's followed in. And a great composed finish. So I think Chadley's been great. And again, he's another one I think will just get stronger as the season goes on.
Yeah. I mean, I think Chadley drifts in and out of the game. But, you know, he's got qualities there, absolutely. And it was a really good finish from him. I didn't actually think Eriksen played well again. He got a goal, but, you know, it was a tap-in. And I was happy that he got it, because I thought, yeah, he needs that. He needs to get his confidence. But I didn't really see it. I'd still play him. But I want a little bit more from him. And Lamela got better and better as the game went on. And I just thought that with him, that he had about 3 runs in the last 5-10 minutes. and he got hacked down each time. Now, I sent a message out there saying, I wonder what would have happened if he hadn't have got hacked down. And people were saying, yeah, the ref or Sunderland. Actually, you know, the ref did all right because he booked the players that hacked him down. And actually, I don't blame the Sunderland players because, you know, they did the right thing for their team. Five minutes to go. You know, you've got Lamella running at you. If he gets round you, then he's probably in on goal. You're not probably going to get another yellow with only a few minutes to go. So they took one for the team, if you like. So it's nobody's fault, but possibly Lamella should have started doing those runs earlier on in the game. Possibly him and Ericsson both need to be told, look, from minute one, show us your skills, show what you can do. Let's really go from the first minute. Possibly the instructions have been with the two of them, you know, settle yourself into the game, don't give the ball away, you know, and let's try and build from there. Whereas I think I'd say to them next game against West Brom, no, straight from the off, give it to Lamella and let him do his runs, you know, straight into the heart of that defence. And with Ericsson, give him the ball and let him do his little tricks and, do those great, you know, through balls straight away from the first minute. Get them on the ball, get them doing those things that they're great at. And I think Lamella, you know, kind of, you know, he's getting frustrated. And again, I think he's got a good little attitude there. He was getting frustrated. He was thinking, oh, I was away there. I was going to do something really good. And, that's all about him wanting the ball, which is what you want to see. Really good. And we just want to see more of it now, don't you? You want to see him keep going and keep pushing on and keep building that confidence, which, you know, at the start of the season was absolutely as low as it could possibly have been. But, you know, that was good. Who were the subs that came on? I can't remember.
Not too sure. I know Harry Kane came on, obviously, you know, with the own goal, but sort of, you know, chatted about that earlier. But, you know, as you say, Steve, you know, like, positive stuff to be taken out. I think the big message I wanted to get across tonight was, look, you know, stop, don't be jumping on anybody's back here. You know, we're four games into the season. Sunderland is a difficult place, no matter how poor they maybe played last season. You know, Man United obviously haven't had a great start. They went up there, obviously took a draw as well. It's not an easy place to go to, Sunderland. So look, four games in, we've got to give it time. You know, as we've said about reviewing some players, you know, maybe after 10 games, I think it's the same with the manager. And we'll see how the style of play goes. Obviously, when you look back at Southampton with them, they didn't hit the ground running whenever he came in there and took over. You know, it actually took him that sort of the rest of that half a season till he got his own players and they got them all into the system for the next season. I think, you know, we'll see in about 10 games time, you know, a completely different Spurs again. But I'm happy how it's looking. You know, everybody seems to be up for the fight. Even Danny Rose, you know, just to finish off. You know, I thought Danny Rose, if you watch his reaction when the own goal goes in, you know, he's absolutely raging. He's disgusted. I don't think you'd have seen Danny Rose doing that last year.
Yeah,
you know, so,
care, did they?
You know, there's another wee sign as well. But, you know, all round. Yeah, that's it. I don't think that occurred last year either, miss. You know.
And again, just for me to round it off, it's going back not to last season, but the season before when we were saying how many chances do we have against the other side? You know, last season we banged on about injuries the whole time. The season before we banged on about, you know, looking at the stats, and I said to you, you know, looking at the stats here, we've had 22 chances, you know, 8 or 9 on target. The other teams had 4 chances, 1 on target, and you end up, you know, drawing the game. The interesting stat from this game was that it was 2-2, yet they had 1 chance on target. Because of course the other goal was an own goal. So they only had one attempt on target. And the game was 2-2, and I think we had 9. So, you know, it's the Spurs way, isn't it? And we've got to get it right. We can't carry on going doing this. Where we have all this bad luck, and it is bad luck. You can get the violins out and everything, but you know, if you're stating facts, you know, that's fine. And you know, that's all I'm doing. I'm stating facts. Anyway, mate, so you want to get into fantasy football?
Yeah, we'll get into fantasy football. I meant to mention this last week, and obviously you and Davey Elder, the Spurs poet, were very, very clever last week, Steve.
Nothing to do with
me. The start of the show. I didn't know anything about it, guys that are listening. You know, Davey saying he was in my house and about me having an Arsenal mug and having an Arsenal calendar and things. You know, Davey's been very, very good on Twitter lately and Facebook, winding everybody up that I've got Arsenal players, you know, on a fantasy football team. Look, anybody, go onto the league, click on my name, and you can have a look at what players I have there. So, it never happened, Davey, and I will get you back, mate. Don't you worry about that there. I will get you back eventually. So, to go into the Fantasy Football League, in first place, we've got Jeff Fiskus, then Paul Burkett, Chris Roberts, Ulla Holtman, Jeff Radden, Marco Casavillian, Claire Hillman, Zach Casanola, Joseph Alvarez and Jonathan Dunn. At the bottom of the league is Michael Wells, Daniel Russo, Gemma Stubbles, still down that bottom four, Gemma, and Philip Caffey. Most points this week with 87 was Matt Johnson. So well done, Matt. That was a great score. I think quite a few guys had Diego Costa, you know, in their team as captain. Unfortunately, I took him out a few weeks ago when he was meant to be injured against Everton.
Yeah.
And I've never put him back in, unfortunately. So I've sort of missed out on him. Where we are on the league, the Spurs poet is in 35th place.
Yeah.
Our good friend Graham Woogie Lambert, who does our admin on our Facebook page,
yeah,
he mentioned earlier on he didn't want me to do fantasy football tonight, and I know the reason. Graham has dropped away down to 96th place. Terrible, Graham. It's really embarrassing, mate. That is terrible. Absolutely terrible. Steve, you've dropped down again. 132.
What?
Now you're saying Graham's awful. That is shocking. And I am up in 29th place.
Yeah, but I've got Yaya Toure on my side. I've got Vertonghen in my side. I've got Steve Gerrard on my side. I mean, these guys should be clocking up the points. They're not even playing. Unbelievable.
Yeah, well, I say I'm in 29th, Steve, so I'm still top of our little mini league there, but I see the poet is starting to catch me a wee bit. But I might just delete Davey for all the slobber lately, so we mightn't read him out anymore.
No, don't do that. Right, right. It's the return of the Hotspurs podcast scoring system. We're going to do this every couple of months or whatever, just to see how the players are getting on. Now, scoring system goes like this. It's a zero if we don't think the guys have done very well. It's a half if we think they've been all right, and we give them a one if they think I can't get the words out. If we think they've done really well, so here we go. Hugo Lloris, what are you giving him? A zero, a half, or a one?
I'm going to give him a one.
Yeah, I'll give him a one as well. Michel Vorm, we don't know. Brad Friedel as well. Obviously, he gets a one, doesn't he? Because he's played a couple of decent games in Europe.
Yeah.
Kyle Walker, we can't do. Danny Rose, one, half, or zero?
I'm going to give Danny Rose a one because I think with all the stick, you know, that he's taken, you know, and people have sort of been sort of run the guy down, I think he's had a really good start to the season.
Yeah, and it's good, isn't it? I think, you know, we want Ben Davies to come in because we've spent the money and we want to see somebody new, blah, blah, blah. But you know, Danny Rose has been all right. We know we've got good cover if Ben Davies gets injured, but you know, it's funny saying all these sorts of things, but well done, Danny Rose, for picking yourself up and getting yourself back in the side, and he's done really well compared to last season. Definitely a one. What are you giving Kabul, the captain?
Kabul,
fantastic.
I'm gonna give him a half.
Yeah, me too. Don't need to explain why. What about Vertonghen?
I'm gonna give him a zero. Right. Because we haven't seen him. Yeah. You know, I think he's only really played against Liverpool and wasn't much out of him that third day, so I think we'll have to give him a zero. It's been disappointing. And don't like the fact he's away international duty and back, and then all of a sudden there's a niggle. So hopefully he'll be back in soon. But
I'll give him a half. You know, he's not done anything too bad so far, and you know, he's a quality player. What are you giving Kirakesh?
I think I'll have to, well, probably give him a half just for he having a bad game on Saturday there. I think that was his first match as well.
I'll give him a half as well. Eric Dyer, what are you giving him?
I have to give him a one.
Yeah.
Definitely. I was wee bit disappointed there on Saturday with him, but look, you know, to score the winner against West Ham, scored against QPR, new player, young player, he's been superb.
Yeah, I'll give him a one as well. Kyle Naughton?
I'll give Kyle Naughton a half. Yeah, I think he's done okay.
Not really seeing him. Now, look, this is interesting. I'm going through my phone to get these players. This is all from the official website. They've still got Benny Assou-Ekotto on the website. So, what are you giving him?
Give him a one.
And what about Ben Davis?
I have to give him a half. You
he's
know,
really played in Europe, haven't seen him.
So,
what about, well, we don't know about Fazio. Aaron Lennon, what are you giving him?
I'm going to give him a half because I actually thought he'd done quite well at the very start, and I actually thought he would have played maybe a few more games here because I thought he had a really good pre-season and it started off not too bad in the first few games, but we just haven't seen him again.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? Because if he'd have played these games, we don't know how good he would have been, but I'm going to give him a zero because, you know, he should be first team. He should be in there. He should be, you know, doing everything he can to win his place back. And I don't see it. I see him coming on. He's an improvement on last year, but we know he's got so much more in his locker. You know, demand the ball. We want him to come on and go, right, give me the ball because I need to win my place back here. And he can because he's so good when he's running at defenders. Mm-hmm. Paulinho, what are you giving him?
Zero. Haven't seen him.
Lamella?
One, I think he's been great. I think he's been good. His attitude, he's trying to do things. He's entertaining them. So looking good. Yep, definitely one.
Definitely one for me. Andros Townsend.
I'm going to give Townsend a half again. In and out of the team, I haven't really seen him. But you know when he plays, we always say about him. You know, I like his enthusiasm. I know he made a bad mistake in the Liverpool game, but you know the guy definitely tries. Wears his heart on his sleeve.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd give him a half as well. There's no place for him in the side at the moment. But, you know, with a tiring defence, bring him on 20 minutes to go, you know, see what he can do. What about Dembele?
Dembele, I'm going to give him a one, more so just because of Saturday. I thought he was outstanding. And hopefully it's a sign of things to come from him because, you know, we all know what he can do. You know, Danny Murphy talked about him in Match of the Day. And, you know, he was raving about him. So hopefully he's going to get a bit of confidence back. So I'm going to give him a one.
Yeah, me too. I really want him to run our midfield, absolutely. Yeah. Chadley, what are you giving him?
One again. Probably, I think he's been great. Three goals.
The easiest one, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Yeah.
What are you giving Eriksen?
I'm going to give Eriksen... I'll give him a half because of his goal. If he hadn't scored us on Saturday, I think it might have been a zero.
Really?
He's been quite disappointing, really. But... you know, I'll give him a half and hopefully, you know, we know he's a quality player, so there's definitely more to come from him.
I thought he's a solid half. I know not as people who are listening to this and going, what are you talking about? He's a one because, you know, he's a bit of a fan favourite, but really, he has been a bit disappointing. I'm giving him a half as well. What about Kapu?
I'm going to give Kapu a one.
Yeah, me too.
I think he's been great. Yep, and like a new player again for us.
And Bentaleb?
I'm going to give him a half. He's done rightly when he's been in there. I think we said it, the Liverpool game I thought was just too much for him.
Yeah.
I don't think he should have played that game, but you have to give the young lad a half. I think he's a great player, great prospect.
Yeah, half for me as well. And Stambouli came on, didn't he? He was one of the players that came on. Didn't really see much of him. But
no, Davey now said to me that he looked quite impressive when he was on, so looks good.
We don't know about Soldado, obviously.
No.
What are you giving Harry Kane?
I'm going to give Harry Kane a half. So I think, and you know, he's only really played Europa League, and I think he's been great on it. So I really like Harry Kane, and I think he's a good sort of backup striker, but still disappointed. I meant to say it earlier on. I think Saturday proved again that we needed to score, you know, to sign an out-and-out goal scorer.
Yeah.
And do you know another thing that really annoyed me? If anybody was watching the Hull game tonight, Hull West Ham, fantastic game of football.
Yeah.
Did you see the goals that were scored? Yeah. They were outstanding.
Superb.
And you look at this guy that Hull signed, never heard of him.
Yeah.
He looked great. And the guy Valencia that the same West Ham signed looked great.
Very quickly then.
Could have went for one of them.
Here's an interesting question, right? About Harry Kane. If you had to put your house on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's give him a 3 year over the next 3 years. Do you think that Harry Kane will make it or not? Whatever that means. But
in the Spurs first team.
If you had to put your house on it, do you think yes or no? Will Harry Kane make it?
No.
No.
Yeah.
We like him, don't we? We think he's a nice guy, you know.
Yeah, and I think he's a great player, but. We need a top striker.
Yeah.
And play. I think Soldado's been injured. Hopefully he's back soon. I want to see Soldado play.
I want to see him play desperately as well. I think Harry Kane is desperate to do well. But you know, we see. And Adebayor, what are you giving him?
Giving him a one.
Yeah.
I just love Adebayor. I just love his energy, his work rate, and you know he just needs a couple of wee goals just to set him off. But look, he's always trying.
Yeah.
So he is, and. Vice captain now, you'll maybe see him. I think he'll score a hat trick on Saturday.
I think this time last year he was going on. Had he come back from wherever he was, and he was saying, "Oh, I want to be the number one striker." And I think we laughed about it. But I think we literally belly laughed on here, going, "Oh, he thinks he's going to be the number one striker. What is he going to?" And then of course he did, which you know again something that people don't think about when they think of him. You know, he actually came back in the side and he worked his socks off to get that position to work well for the team. You know, some things that people say about him, I completely disagree. Again, I think that's the exact opposite of what he's actually like on a pitch, which is amazing. Great. All right, mate. So we've done the fantasy football. We've done that. We've got West Brom coming up. We've got the game in Europe, obviously. I was going to say about that. We're in a bit of a predicament, aren't we? Because do we play... You know, like this back four, you know, we obviously, we want to make a few changes for the West Brom game, don't we? Which is the priority, presumably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, Ben Davis, he's going to play in Europe, isn't he? Which will
mean
that Rose plays again on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to, you know, Fazio's going to play, which means we'll play, you know, he won't play on Sunday. You know, is Vertonghen going to be back in on Thursday? Or are we going to play Vlad or Kabul? And then, you know, I don't think Walker's a while away, isn't he? Because he's had surgery.
Yeah.
Are we going to play Dyer again at right back? I guess we are. Or no, we'll play Norton, won't we?
Yeah, probably play Norton.
So we'll play Norton, and that's fine. So the right back's all right. But I'm just a bit worried about playing too many of these, you know, who I think should be in the first team, particularly at the back in Europe. You know, the presumption that you know they need a game. Because they do need a game, but then they won't play on the Sunday. So it's a bit of a predicament. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. You know, it definitely is a difficult one. This is why we always worried about the Europa League, especially at this stage. You know, this group stage. You know, having to travel out to Belgrade on a Thursday night. You know, with the game on a Sunday. But you know, I think in a way, hopefully, you know, he will give some of the other players a bit of a run. You know, if we were to pick, we could pick four or five different teams here, you know, starting lineups.
Yeah.
And they all should be capable of going out here and getting a result. You know, end of story. And still be capable to go back to White Hart Lane on Sunday and beat West Brom.
Yeah.
You know, no doubt about it. And I think it's a mentality thing now. And I think us as supporters, we need to get over that as well. And, you know, if we were going out on, say, this Wednesday night to play Bayern Munich, you know, we wouldn't be talking about it. You know, we'd be thinking, right, what's the team for Bayern Munich? And then we'll have a game on Saturday and we'll watch the team. You know, you'd be upbeat and excited about it all. I think it's just unfortunately this mentality that we all have about the Europa League. But I'm just sort of hoping that he does go out there and give some players, you know, we need to see the likes of Fazio. We need to see Ben Davies. And, you know, if these are the games where he can get them sort of integrated into the team, fair enough.
Yeah.
I think we should have more than enough to beat West Brom on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is textbook. Go and get a little result in who are we playing? Star Bucharest or someone?
No, Partizan Belgrade.
So we play them. This is textbook. Get a little result out there. Pretty drab game though, you know. Get a 1-0 or something like that. And then West Brom. And everyone going, yeah, you know, we're up for it. And the side comes through, and yet there's 8 or 9 changes, and so everybody should be fresh. And then you just see an absolute lackluster performance, you know, and it's a 1-0 or a 0-1 loss. It's textbook, Cole, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's happened so many times. I just hope there's a difference this time.
Yeah,
I do think a White Hart Lane, you know, he's going to be very attacking.
We need an early goal, don't we? Otherwise, if we've got that lackluster start, then it'll be, you know, we'll be at half time, you know, fighting your way to the toilets or trying to get a hot dog to cheer yourself up, which is absolutely impossible these days because they've got about 3 staff for 5,000 people all trying to get a Diet Coke or whatever. And talking about how rubbish it is, and then you've got to sit through the second half with a bench of superstars, and you just think, well, can we play bench versus bench? Because I think we'll win that quite comfortably. Yeah, go on, mate.
I know, no, it's going to be, it will be, and look, we know West Brom are going to come, and they're going to sit back and try and hit us on the counter-attack. You know, West Brom have had a really, really bad start. The supporters, I think, are on their new manager's back already. So as you say, you know, an early goal. But to be honest with Steve, I feel different this season about these sort of games. I think at White Hart Lane will be like a QPR match. You know, we'll really go at them. And with the quality that we have, be very, very surprised if we don't, you know, pick them off. And I'm quite confident I'm going to go for, I usually don't make predictions, but I fancy another 4-0.
Okay, well, I'm going to go textbook, unfortunately. No, we can't. If we can get an early goal, I think we'll be all right. Or a late one. Right, now, Sasha Blythe asks about the Kabul being the right man to be captain. We've spoken about that. Susie Connings wants to know about benefits of overseas supporters club. Love them, fantastic. Absolutely no problem with those. That's brilliant.
They're super, you
fantastic.
Know.
Fantastic, I love them. And, you know, and so many people listen to this, particularly Americans, who I absolutely love. I mean, you know, if you're American and you're coming over to watch Spurs, please get in touch with us. I would absolutely love to get in a pub and chat about Spurs with you. Absolutely brilliant. I love America.
Yeah.
And we can talk chicken wings. you can't get decent chicken wings in England, gutted.
That's right. But you know
what? I cook up some good chicken wings.
Yeah.
You know, red hot sauce going. Go on,
but
sorry,
you know, if you look at these, you know, supporters clubs, obviously I'm from Northern Ireland. You know, there's a loads of, you know, supporters club. Obviously, the Lisburn boys were over. I think Ballymena guys were over. Londonderry Spurs were over. And then they met up with all the Glasgow Spurs and, you know, the Scott Spurs guys. You know, so these supporters clubs are massive. And, you know, the money that they spend to travel and watch Spurs, you know, is crazy. You know, they could probably pay for 3 season tickets alone.
Yeah.
You know, and the money it's spent. So, like, overseas supporters clubs are a massive part of the club. And, you know, obviously for promoting the club, you know, across the world, which just makes things bigger and, you know, definitely love it.
And there's nothing worse than going on holiday, is there? And you see a Man United shirt and a Chelsea shirt, and you're even seeing Man City shirts popping up all over the place now, and you think, oh, my goodness, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Gerard Chapman asked, why are we scared of meeting them up in Sunderland? I'm not scared of you, mate. I'm scared of asking my wife if I can go up to Sunderland for the weekend. And I know Cole's the same.
I know Davey was with Jared on the train on the way home whenever I phoned him.
Yeah.
So, no, definitely, Jared, no problem. I've been to Newcastle loads of times and definitely want to get back there. So, it's actually a game that I'm planning to hopefully go to this season is Newcastle away. So, hopefully I will meet up with you. And I know Big Kev was there as well. So,
certainly,
if I don't get over this season, I'm definitely either going to Sunderland or Newcastle next year. That's definitely, 100%.
Absolutely. And just in response to the guy who was talking about me last week when I said about, you know, the guys behind the goal having a sing-song, all that is in response to Spurs fans who say that the West Upper should sing more and that. But, you know, I agree. I absolutely agree. But I don't really like the when they say that about the West Upper as if the fact that they've got no passion. And I was just trying to say that, you know, the people in the West Upper have had the season tickets for the longest. You know, that you just listen to them and there's a lot of moaning. But listen, I'm not going to tell any fan what to do when they go to a football match. Sit there, don't sing, do sing. But please, you know, if you're a youngster, you know, in your late teens, early 20s, and you're moaning about the atmosphere and you sit behind the goal, and you are one of these guys that say, why don't people sing? Why don't people sing? And you're standing there not singing. Well, you know, you want to get it going. But I absolutely am with you with the fact that, you know, sometimes you just don't want to. And that is absolutely fine as well if you don't want to have a sing.
Yeah, exactly. I think the other difficult thing is, and I've sat in there behind the goal and the upper tier as well, I think it's such a mixture of supporters now.
Yeah.
You know, and like, say, for example, I'm going over with one of my friends. I want to sing, definitely, so I do. But you're maybe sitting there beside, you know, a family with kids. And, you know, that's why we've said it before, Steve. I think Spurs need to give at least two or three blocks there, a bit like what the 1882 guys do, and, you know, make it an area like a singing section.
Yeah.
And, you know, whenever you're buying your season ticket or picking your season ticket, you know, that's the area that you get. Well, so that you're in there with, you know, like-minded guys who want to do that. And I think it would be massive for the club. Absolutely massive. And yeah. I think it's something there. I don't know how you would go about maybe getting a petition or an email sent off to the club about it. But, you know, it's something I think needs to be done, you know, because I know Man United have done it. And, you know, there's always areas in the ground where they're singing. And I think it would be great.
Yeah. And the other thing, of course, just touch on this, is the fact that we will have to move ground, you know, when Archway finally do buy Tottenham. Is that right? Is that what's happening? No. But the thing is, you know, it's looking like MK Dons. I just want to throw this in cat amongst the pigeons here, which people haven't mentioned about this MK Dons thing. Firstly, you know, it's all this franchise business and what have you. I mean, yes, you know, we should be supporting London clubs and what have you, but just something that no one's mentioned is the fact that Wimbledon were getting, do you know what crowds they were getting? Because a lot of the younger fans won't know this because it was so long ago. What is it, about 15, 20 years ago that it all moved on? Maybe even more recent. Can you remember what sort of fans were turning up to Wimbledon games?
Yeah, was that when they were at Plough Lane?
When they was at Plough Lane. Can you remember the sort of gates they were getting?
They're probably only getting about 8,000 or 9,000, weren't
they? On a good day. On a good day. I mean, a lot of the games they were getting 4,000 or 5,000, and they were in the top division.
Yeah.
And I remember, I think it was a League Cup game, and they got something like 2,500, and it was something like, you know, the worst crowd, and that was when they were in top division. And listen, it was terrible what they did, you know, to move that club away from Wimbledon. Absolutely awful. But, you know, just to chuck in a couple of things there, you know, this club, you know, might not have survived had it not moved away to get bigger crowds and what have you. You know, obviously, you know, I don't know, absolutely not. But what I'm saying is that's something that nobody has mentioned. You know, it's not like, you know, Tottenham are getting 35,000 every week and they move it, you know, 100 miles up the road. You know, when we've got a packed stadium, you know, it wasn't like that. They were struggling. But, you know, it's terrible as well. But I don't know where I'm not quite getting, you know, yes, the distance thing is a problem. There'd definitely be a problem for me. I'm not quite getting the it's a franchise club, so therefore I won't go type moralistic thing. I mean, why do we have to be so moralistic all of a sudden? You know, and take the higher ground and all that sort of stuff. You know, the trouble is, if I do that, then I've got to go shopping to Lakeside on a Saturday. or a Sunday. I don't want to. I want to go to my football. So
yeah.
I might just have to swallow my pride and go and sit in a franchise's stadium for my own sanity. You know, so I don't have to look around shoe shops all day on a Sunday.
I know. It's going to be a difficult one, and the MK Dons is actually a fantastic stadium. I think the problem's going to be, you know, Spurs, we do sell out most home games, Steve. You know, so I still think, you know, we need to be somewhere that's going to hold at least 35,000 to 40,000 people. Yeah. And, you know, the only, you know, options, obviously, they're talking about the Emirates down the road as well. I can't see that happening.
No, that won't happen.
They're obviously talking about Wembley. I don't think that would help us at all, sitting in a 90,000-seater stadium, Steve.
Well, I want to know the legal aspect of that, because some people are saying, and I'll tell you who would be good on this, is that Andrew Rockall.
Yeah,
I wonder
yeah.
if he can enlighten us on this, because some people are saying that they can only play a certain number of games a year there, you know, contract, you know, wise.
Yeah.
So that needs to be ruled out if that's the case.
Yeah.
If not, We've got to play at Wembley. It makes sense, doesn't it? It's just down the road. They need money, don't they? Surely. And we play there for a season. You know, then maybe they close the whole upper tier and do it that way.
Yeah.
You
think they would have to.
Seat, and it would be an absolute nightmare to get there and back, because I live blimmin' miles away from it. But go on, mate. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, that's it. Hopefully, Andrew, if he's listening, he can maybe put something on our page about that or on Twitter. But you know, it's going to be interesting, but look, I seen a couple of people put something like, oh, if we move away from White Hart Lane for a year, that's it, I'm finished, I'm not supporting, you know, come on, guys.
What are you going to do?
it's our team. I'm going to support Spurs no matter where they're playing.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I would travel, if I could, if at the time and the money, I would travel all over the country to watch Spurs. I would love to do it. So look, it's not going to be a big difference. Got to look at the end product, which is going to be a brand new stadium, which is going to still be in Tottenham at White Hart Lane, and it's going to be massive. Going yeah. to be massive for us, and will take us to the next stage.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, you lots of things happen, and you don't like this and you don't like that. But at the end of the day, you've got to just say, well, you know, what else are you going to do? You know, it's a Saturday afternoon. You know, there's a team called Tottenham playing. And,
yep.
You know, your missus says, what are you doing today, love?
Just look at it, 38 away games. Sure. The way fans are always more fun anyhow. So look at it. We'll maybe have better atmosphere.
Yeah. Listen, no, brilliant. You know, it's been a good show, I think, this week.
Yeah.
I've not been so whiny this week. I thought I was terribly whiny last week, and you pointed out that I'm whiny every week. So
yeah, that's it. You always are, mate. I just turn off whenever you're whiny.
Have we got anything else that we need to say on this show?
No, I think that's as well covered. And obviously, we'll get another early show out next week again, cover the Europa League game and West Brom and take it on from there, mate. And just fingers crossed, you know, we get two wins, and you know, I'm very, very confident that we'll get results, and really looking forward to next Sunday. Really disappointed we're actually not on live again.
Yeah,
you know, this has actually been the worst season so far for us not being on live.
But we're playing, you know, every game like Man
hours
United
earlier, are on again.
We're playing two games earlier as well.
But Man United's on again. And actually, there's another point I want to bring out. We beat QPR 4-0.
Mm.
Man United beat QPR 4-0, and all of a sudden, they might win the league. You know, what's that all about?
They did look good, though, didn't they?
They did look good, Steve. But look what they were playing.
They did look good, and by the way, they will come good this season.
I think they'll be up there fighting for top four. I still wouldn't be too sure. Their defence still looks very, very shaky. Well, and I guarantee you, if that team on Sunday had been playing Man City or Chelsea, they wouldn't have got a result, because they are poor at the back. So yeah,
I
wouldn't be worrying too much about Man United.
I think they'll finish third, because Arsenal nailed on fourth. Chelsea and everyone. Lovely to see Brendan Rodgers, you know, trying to save face.
It was great.
We need a couple of poor results for him. Wipe that smug look off his face.
Yeah, definitely.
And you know, we need to push on. Listen, big show next week, because it was obviously be an Arsenal preview. We won't worry about getting any Arsenal fans on. We've got you, and we'll have a good one. All right,
I'll wear my Arsenal top next week then for you as well.
Oh dear, that's going at the start of the show. No, it's not. All right, buddy.
Okay, mate. Come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.